The latest candidate to jump into the 2018 Minnesota governor race is former Governor Tim Pawlenty. He's a Republican, and Governor Pawlenty joins us now. Thank you for being with us.
I'm delighted to be with you and your listeners, Heidi. Thank you.
So why you and why now?
Well, I think the state has big challenges and big problems, and I think I can be a big help. I've got a lot of experience and a lot of strength that will help, I think, overcome and bridge some of the toxic politics we see in the country and in our state today, and we can move Minnesota forward in a very positive way.
Tell us a little bit about your background and experience that you think will benefit your race, your next term, if you are elected governor.
Sure. Well, I served as governor of Minnesota in the past, and that record includes having a common-sense conservative Supreme Court, work lid on spending, reducing taxes, requiring work if you're going to get welfare, if you're able-bodied and able-minded, healthcare reforms that weren't just all based on government but were based on markets, and much more, strong support for the National Guard and the military. But as we look forward, one of the main things I want to do now is focus on the hardworking middle-income Minnesotans. Our wealthy in the state are going to be fine. We have good social service programs for the poor compared to other states. But I think the people who are really getting squeezed are people in the middle, hardworking middle-income Minnesotans, and I have a number of ideas for relief for them, including exempting Social Security benefits from taxation. I think if you work your whole life really hard, and you get to the end and you're collecting Social Security benefits, you shouldn't be taxed. Most other states don't tax that, but believe it or not, Minnesota does. So a centerpiece, my message is to exempt Social Security from taxation.
So Governor Pawlenty, we've been asking the same questions of each of the candidates when we get a chance to talk to them. And we've asked them what they think their signature issue might be, like Governor Dayton's early childhood education. Yours is a little more complicated. What was your signature issue? Do you think it will be again?
Well, I think if you look at state spending in Minnesota, it's gone up, depending on whose numbers you use, somewhere between 40% and 60% just in the last 7 years. And that's way beyond inflation. So when you have people's paychecks and people's ability to pay taxes not going up very fast and taxes going up a lot faster, or government spending going up a lot faster, the math just doesn't work. So I think we need to have accountable government living within its means, and that's important. But like I said, I think there's a couple of things that will be my signature goals. One, like I said, is to exempt Social Security benefits from taxation to bring relief to modest and middle-income people. Two, we have to bring down health care premiums so that they're more affordable. And three, I think we need to reform our education system so that people have skills and abilities that allow them to get a good paying job. And that includes bringing vocational and technical training back to our high schools as an option, because 4-year college degree isn't necessarily the best pathway forward for everybody. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the area of technical college, technical training, apprenticeships, and more.
What do you think are some of the biggest challenges that face our state right now?
Well, I think really economic opportunity across the board and across all of Minnesota, not just in the metro area or a few handful of regional centers. But I think if you're going to have a good quality of life in our state, for most people, that depends on whether you have a good education or a skill that allows you to access the economy. And I think we have an education system that's been really good, but is slipping somewhat. And we have too many people who lack the educational level or skill level needed to get a good job or stay employed. And I think we need to measure our commitment to education not just by how much we're spending, but by the outcomes and results. And when I was governor, we had the number one ACT results in the country. That slipped a bit. We also had, accountability for not just putting time on task, but getting better results and having pay aligned to those results, performance pay, and more. But there's a lot of reform that need to be done in our schools, I think, to make them even better.
So let's talk about what you think the governor's role is in terms of the Minnesota legislature. How did it go in your terms as governor? What do you think you want to do? Is there anything differently you might want to do in terms of a relationship with the Minnesota legislature?
Sure. Well, we got a lot done when I was governor, including the following. We appointed a common-sense conservative Minnesota Supreme Court. We, like I said, had a historic low in state spending in terms of keeping a lid on spending. We cut taxes. We required work if you're going to get welfare, assuming you're able-bodied and able-minded, before that was even popular. We cracked down on illegal immigration. We advanced renewable energy and energy initiatives, I think, in important and forward-leaning ways. We supported the National Guard and military in nation-leading ways. We had reforms to healthcare that were market-based, not just government-based. So I'm proud of that record. It's a good record, and I think that'll give people a flavor of what we did and the kinds of accountability we brought to government. And then going forward, I think this issue of how do we address the squeeze that middle-income people feel, and they're stepping back and saying, how do I fit into this economy, this global economy of today? How do I fit into a situation where me or my kids may not feel properly prepared for this economy? And that's why I think this emphasis on lowering their costs, exempting Social Security benefits, lowering health care premiums, making sure the schools are providing them relevant and employable skills and knowledge, those are really the meat and potato or bread and butter issues that I think most Minnesotans care about.
So a more specific question about what you would do as Minnesota governor, what are your thoughts on the constitutionality of combining policy and budget bills together?
Well, we have a requirement already in the Minnesota law that says that bills are supposed to be a single subject. And so the courts have interpreted that perhaps more broadly than I would have liked or some of your listeners would have liked. But the idea was not to have these big, sometimes people call them Christmas tree bills or Christmas ornament bills, where a bunch of unrelated things get hung into a bill and you got to vote it all up or all down. And that's frustrating for policymakers because they may agree with 60% of what's in the bill and disagree with 40% of what's in the bill. So they'd like to narrow those bills down. But I do believe you could have a requirement that tightens up what the courts have said even tighter to have more focus when people vote on bills and try to limit it to fewer subjects or even one main subject. I think that would be helpful.
You're talking to folks who live in a rural area right now, and a lot of times in the last couple of elections, they're talking about the rural voters, but they don't always talk to the rural voters. And media comes out of big cities, not out of rural areas. What do you think is of most concern to people who don't live in the cities of Minnesota?
I think economic opportunity and access to a good quality of life. And so, if you look at national figures, 70% of the counties in the country, 70%, have fewer employers in them now than they did just 10 years ago. And if you apply that math to Minnesota's 87 counties, that means over 50 counties in Minnesota have fewer employers in them than just 10 years ago. And so we need to be very, very laser-like focused on making sure there's economic opportunity for people across the whole geography of our state. And for greater Minnesota, that includes the things that we know are there permanently, our natural resources and agriculture, food and food processing are so vitally important in keeping the cost down and the regulations down for those types of industries and family farms and others. Mining, of course, in northeastern Minnesota is such an important part of our past and our future, and we want to be making sure we are in favor of mining in a way that protects the environment. We also need to make sure we make extra efforts to provide incentives or at least encouragements, openness to employers growing and expanding in greater Minnesota. And I've got a record of doing that in the past. We provided tax incentives and other incentives for employers to grow and expand in greater Minnesota. Both in the country and in Minnesota, too much of our economic growth is clustering around just a handful of cities or areas. And we need to make sure that that happens across the board in our state, not just in limited number of places.
That is Republican former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. He is running for governor in 2018. Before we let you go, what would you do about the Minnesota Twins?
Well, even a governor can't do much about the Minnesota Twins, but it looked like they were poised to have an uptick this year, and they started off slowly and in an underwhelming fashion. But it's early yet. It's a long season. And hopefully they'll find a little spark and turn this thing around before too much longer.
That's Governor Tim Pawlenty. You are listening to KAXE, KBXE. Thanks for taking the time today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.